How many know that you can be in bondage to anything? Be it drugs or alcohol, or you could be in bondage to someone else. Someone else's attitude, someone else's behavior. I've seen a lot of people be in bondage to that, where somebody would act a certain way and do a certain thing, and all of a sudden you get attitude or get your feelings hurt and then react to that in a negative way and stay in that for a long time. And so the freedom that she talks about today, that's a choice to be free. And if you're like the lady she portrayed, then you know freedom because you know who the Father is. And you'll know where you're headed. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I want to go back to A Love That Lasts one more time. And we're going to kind of round it off today with a love of maturity. We're going to see where you're at in your love and in the maturity level of your love. And I appreciate the Lord and His Word today. Jim brought me something the other day just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit before I get into this. It's a little heavy, kind of like her skit, and I thought, well, you might want to just lighten up just a little bit. How many know this is the day the Lord has made? And we will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Good praise, by the way. Great song. I love that new song you taught us today, and it's good to learn new things. And it says there was a little boy was waiting outside a grocery store for his mother to come out, and as he waited, a man approached him and asked, "Son, can you tell me where the post office is?" And the little boy replied, "Sure, you just go straight down the road here a couple of blocks and turn to the right, and it's right there." And the man thanked the boy kindly and said, "I'm the new pastor here in town," and said, "I'd like for you to come to church Sunday, and I'll show you how to get to heaven." The little boy replied with a chuckle, "Oh, come on now," he said, "you don't even know how to get to the post office." So I thought, well, you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? I'm here trying to teach you how to get to heaven. Sometimes I can't even find the post office. So, everybody have your sword today? Ready to learn? This is a good word God's given us today. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And this is a little different today. I'm probably not for you, but for me it's, you know, God just kind of showed me where to go here today and just really gave me a couple of points to talk about today that's just really I want to talk to you as much as I want to do teaching or preaching today. Because here's what I know: somebody's going to get free today, and it'll be a new day for you. And this, because you came today, and you had a choice to come today. But I think there'll be some freedom here today. That this will be kind of like a birthday for you, that you'll get free through this lesson today, and that excites me. In fact, speaking of freedom, Scott told me a while ago that in the lock-in this week they had 4 rededications with the little ones, so the teenagers, and 1 salvation. For the lock-in. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Yeah. Fruit. There's some fruit in Ground Zero. You know, we just remodeled over there. If you hadn't seen it, you need to go over and see it. But there's some fruit over there, and they just wanted you to know. So I appreciate that this morning. But I want to talk to you about love. And really, here's the key thing is when we're loving others, that's when we're most like God. So just remember that when we're loving others, that's when we're most like God. And God puts a requirement on us, doesn't He? That's not a option for us. In fact, when you start off in John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, he talks about trying the spirits. And I thought when I start studying this, I thought that's kind of an odd place, isn't it, to put trying the spirits. And he says, you know, verse 1, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits where they are of God. Because he says, and here's the reason, there's many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is back in his day, so they're still here. How many of those false prophets are still here? They're still misleading people. And really, you can tell one pretty quick when you hang around them, because he says, Verse 2, by this you'll know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard from was coming and now is already in the world. And so, like I said, even in their day, this spirit and these individuals were present, and they're here today. And here's a quick overview. If you're in doubt about a religion, ask them where Jesus stands. Ask them where they put Jesus Christ. That's a quick way to say whether they're on track or not. And if they don't give Jesus Christ all the glory, some religions here in our own state will say, well, he was a prophet, or he was a good person, or, you know, you could follow his teachings. I heard Madonna say one day on a talk show that she's a follower of Jesus Christ. And I thought, really? And I'm not judging. I just, some of the fruit I saw, you know, from her songs or things, you know, like on the awards and all. But it says that if they don't put Jesus, if he's not deity, if he's not in the mix of God, fully man, then it's probably a false teaching. And so I thought, well, why would he put that in here? Because the rest of the chapter, as you look on down through here, is going to deal with love and what love is and what God requires. And I thought, well, really, the probably, to me, he put that in there because the foundation of everything, and if we're going to love like we're commanded to love, we have to know who Jesus is and who he's not. And we have to be able to discern, because how many has ever been hurt? You know, you loved on someone and they just hurt you. Let me see. Anybody? Yeah, most everybody. If you haven't, you just haven't lived long enough. Just hang on. It'll happen. Bless your hearts. But everybody gets hurt, you know, and then sometimes we say, well, I'm just not going to love people anymore. You know, I'm just going to keep my distance. I've heard Christians say that, you know, just I'm not going to let them into my circle and all those sort of things. And because it does hurt, doesn't it? When you get close to someone and all, you know, when we first started Prayer of Faith, Jana, my wife, she gets very close to people and she's got a heart and, you know, huge heart, and so when people would leave the church, we just about have to have a burial. You know what I'm saying? Are you like that? If a friend leaves you, you just have to, you know, you fret and you worry. It's just like they died or something, you know. And I'm like, well, they're right over there. They're still in town, or they're over here. You know, they'll be okay. They'll get over themselves, and you know, and that's my personality. But it's not hers. And some of you that are not like that, it's harder for you because that was my friend. You know, I thought we were friends. That's what they'll say. I thought we were friends, and then all of a sudden, they're not what you consider a friend. They're not talking to you and all, and some of you, it really hurts you, and if you're that kind of personality where it really hurts you when somebody doesn't treat you like they used to as a friend, that's hard, isn't it? It's a mental and even a physical drain on you to sort all that out. And so I thank God that I'm not that way, you know, that I can love you, and if you don't want to love me for a while, that's okay. Go do your thing, and I'll see you when you get back. You know, if you don't, I'll see you in heaven. You got to love me there. You know, I'm Jack, and I love you, but I don't need you. You know, I mean, I don't have to have you. I got Jesus, and I got Jana. I'm good to go. And so, but I do appreciate all my friends, and don't I want to downplay that and the love and support that you give us. Speaking of that, Miss Lucille, you know, loving on people. I just want to stop for a minute and say, this is loving on people. Pray for Doc and Lucille. She's in the Norman Hospital. I went and saw her this morning, and she needs our prayers. They both need our prayers very much. So even if you don't know them, just Doc and Lucille Collingsworth. Just remember them in your prayers. But that's a part of loving, is saying, when you hurt, I'll stop and I'll pray for you and be there for you. And then he says this, and I want to set a stage here. It says in verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, talking about the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, we like to quote that scripture, don't we? Oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But put it in context, and it's really powerful when you quote that, because he's saying something here. He's getting ready to tell us something, that we're going to need that greater power. We're going to need this power that he's talking about. And so when I'm talking to you this morning, and for some of you it's going to get set free from bitterness or grudges or this thing that you feel against someone, Just remember that you can get free because He's inside of you. How many knows if you're a Christian, Jesus is living on the inside of you? And if Jesus is living on the inside of you, then that, and He said, behold, all things have become new, the old things are passed away. In other words, that old spirit we used to have where we'd hold grudges or wouldn't forgive or that sort of thing. He said, that's all gone. And how many knows, how many would just be honest this morning and say, it may be all gone, but I still feel it. And I still wrestle with it, you know. And so what it says in there is, He'll never take away our intellectual choice. How many knows He gave us the mind to think, to have make intellectual choices? I like to watch Dirty Jobs. You ever see that on there with Mike Rowe? He's hilarious. I was watching it yesterday as Jana was getting ready and we were going to go visit my folks for a little while. But he is just hilarious. But, you know, Mike just loves life and he goes around and does all kinds of dirty jobs and things and just, but what's amazing is, and I know he's on TV and he's making good money doing all this, but he's there. He's engaged and he's doing it, and he'll talk about the bad part, but you know, all the time he's there, and what I love about this guy, he's just engaged wherever he is. You know, that's loving, isn't it? It's just, you're there and you're, And they had some rat. How many knew there was a Skulls Unlimited here in Oklahoma City? I didn't even know that until yesterday. And he had these rats, these big rats, and he put them in some kind of a solution in a big container about so big with a top on it, and they pull this container off. And what Skulls Unlimited do? They have all kinds of processes for taking meat off the bones of animals, dead animals, and they'll use beetles. Some of they put them in a box and beetles just, you know, eating all the flesh off, and some of it they rotted off, and they're rotting this flesh off, and they poured this stuff out. What is it?
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up? Oh, come on. I'm doing my job then, right? I'm trying to set a stage to let you know what he was in. It's not lunchtime yet anyway. Come on. I got... And so he pours this out, and the guy that's standing there from Skulls Unlimited, he says... Mike's like, he's like, whew. And he said, can you smell that? Because the guy's just pouring it out, you know. And well, yeah, I can smell. He said, but it's not got worse yet. He said, hang on. And then, boy, you know, you see the... Oh. Are you getting my picture here? It's getting thicker. It's getting thicker. Okay, I'll quit. But I thought, you know, why is he so sick? And the reason is, he loves, you know, just interacting with people and talking with people and experiencing different things. But wherever he is and all these dirty jobs, and how many know sometimes life has dirty jobs? Sometimes life has dirty jobs. But can you engage in that moment and can you be there? Here's what I know. If your love level is high, you can. So here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. He said, little children, your heart, inside you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the ability and the power to overcome whatever it is that you're aggravated at, you're discouraged about, you're in the low spots, you know. Whatever that is, you have the ability through Jesus Christ to overcome that. So, let's look at it, what He says. He says, they are of the world, talking about the world system, therefore they speak as the world, the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows and hears us, he who is not of God does not hear us. You ever wonder why somebody, when you're trying to witness to them and love on them, they don't hear you and they're not getting it? Well, this is why. They're not connected. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't exalt Him as Lord and Savior. And if they do, and they're living in darkness, He said, they are lying. In fact, He said that about us. He said, when we say that we're in light and we're walking in darkness in the area of our lives, He says, we're lying. See? And that's what I want us to do. I just want us to quit lying today. So that's what we're looking at. It's a tough Sunday, you know, but I'm glad you're here, but it's a tough Sunday with all the stuff and everything. Verse 6, we are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So it's really important that we walk in light, or we're not going to know the spirit of error. And I think people that walk in partial truth and then have dark areas over here, it's hard for them to know the truth, and all of a sudden it's we open a big door for darkness to come in. It's like the Bible calls it a stronghold. It starts with the root of bitterness, it says, and it grows from there. It gives it a place. Now, listen to verse 7. Beloved, let us love what? One another. It didn't say some another, did it? That's what we want to say. Let us let some another, some, the ones we choose we'll love, and the ones that don't treat us right, the ones that are, they're old, hateful, you know, whatever. We don't want to love them. We don't have to love them, do we? Yes, love one another. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's what God is. God is, and that's why He says, if you can walk in love, you've arrived. I mean, if you can walk in this kind of love, the God kind of love, He said, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but He said, you're complete. Because now you're walking where you used to bask in your hurt feelings and play mind games and try to get even or just ignore. I'm just going to ignore them. How many knows that's not love? I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. How many knows that's not love? In fact, let's skip on over to verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, and how many knows who your brother is? That's anybody on the planet, isn't it? Not just your family, that's anybody on the planet. He called us brothers and sisters, you know, and so we're all God's children. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and so all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's everyone. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Now, by that definition, just let me ask you today, if we're looking at this verse, and it says, if you say, and I say that I love God, but I have hate, bitterness, anger, and maybe anger might be, you know, there's a righteous anger, you know, like, he said, be angry and sin not, and if somebody does something that makes you angry, how many knows you're going to have to process that? You're going to have to work through those feelings, unless you're some kind of saint or something that's not normal. We have to work through that. When Jesus saw them in the temple, and their primary purpose for coming was making money, and they had all the sacrificial animals, the people didn't want to bring their own. That wasn't convenient. It's kind of like America today. It wasn't convenient, so they wanted to just buy something at the church when they got there instead of bringing their sacrifice. And so when they get into the temple, and he says, you know, he sees them, and their primary purpose is to make money, well, then all of a sudden he makes a whip and turns over the tables, and how many knows he's pretty angry? I mean, you can see it. How many knows if Jesus came into our church and started flipping over chairs and podiums and stuff and had a big whip and looked at all of us and we thought, I think we're just going to exit the building. How many knows we could discern he's angry? He's angry. And so there's anger that you have to work through, but he's saying don't stay there. And if you've been in that for a while and you feel anger and all, he says, you know what? You're not, then you're not loving God like you think you are and like you say you are and like I should be. We're hanging on to this thing, and he said, when you're hanging on to this hate, bitter, hurt, you know, this, I just can't get over my hurt. Well, you know, that's a form of that same stuff. And he said, we're lying to ourselves. We're not abiding in God's love when we're hanging on to that stuff. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him that that he who loves God must, everybody say must. Must. How many knows what must means? Must love his brother also. When we moved into our new house about 2.5 years ago or so, I bought me some new leather furniture and put in my reading room, which I spend many hours in that room a week. And I didn't have it but a few days, and Addie was probably about a less than two, and somehow she got a hold of a magic marker, and she went into my room. And she put her signature on my new ottoman. The black magic marker. Gotta love her, yeah. Want to beat her, gotta love her, right? And I wasn't home, but, you know, so her mom and her nanny found her, you know, and got it away from her, and I wasn't happy about it. But you know what? It didn't change my love for her. You know, I wanted to pull her little head off, but, you know, it didn't. I'd have done it in love, of course, if I would have. But I didn't, you know, I didn't, I mean, she's, you know, not even two, and that's what they do. When they get stuff they shouldn't have in their hand. And so how many knows that's really kind of a sin of ignorance? When you don't know, that's kind of a sin of ignorance. And that's kind of how God looks at us. When he was nailed to the cross and he looks out and he says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You know, they're intelligent people. They're the leaders of the church screaming, crucify him, and he's exalting himself as God. Well, because he was God. But it was still a sin of ignorance, and that's what he was saying. That kind of love that he displayed to those that were sinning ignorantly against him. And how many knows when somebody hurts you and me, there is a element of ignorance in that. You know, Miss Thelma doing her Black History skit today. When people are prejudiced, white people or Indians or whomever is prejudiced against whomever, there's a certain element of ignorance in that, isn't there? I mean, it's ignorant, you know, and we know that because we walk in light to know that we're all God's children, but there are people that's racial prejudice. There's, you know, and it's not just white against black, it's black against white and Hispanics, and, you know, you can go on and on. It's not, because it's not about color, it's about a love issue, isn't it? People that have racial problems or hate problems of any kind, it's ignorance, and it's a love issue that it's not there. And so, here's what I want you to take away from that is, whenever somebody's hurt you, you and I, it will help us to figure in the ignorance factor to say, and even if it's spiteful, there's still an element of ignorance in that, if you think about it. Because it's not on the level that he's talking about here that we should be loving one another. And when we're not, we're walking in darkness. And so how many knows if we turned these lights off right now and said, run! How many knows there would be some kind of element that has just entered the equation that now it's going to be more difficult for you to run where you need to go? We might could see those little lines in the crack of the door, but it would still be more difficult. We'd be bumping into each other, and we couldn't run with clarity to safety. And it's the same way with people that are hurting me and you. They say hurting people hurt people, that are hurting and lashing out. Maybe it's that person at the office that you have problems with, I saw Choctaw High School on the news about some racial issues and comments and things this week. See, and so there's a part of love and there's a part of ignorance in there that just came from somewhere. And so to get free, you have to remember that, because if you don't, you'll take it real personal. How many knows what I'm talking about? You'll take it real personal. Oh, they said that against me. They were aiming that right at me, you know. And so we'll take it real personal, and when we take it real personal and you take a fiery dart, how many know you should get your shield of faith on, because the devil's got some fiery darts to shoot at you, and he'll shoot it through people that love you. That's when it hurts the most. That's when you don't expect it. You let your little guard down and somebody that loves you goes, "Phew." I can't, you just shot me. And they're like, well, you deserved it. You know, and then it all begins, doesn't it? And so he says, I want to teach you that, you know what, you cannot say I love God and have this stuff in your heart and your mind against a brother, whomever it may be, and say that you love God, because you don't, you're lying. And so today I want to get us to a place today where we're not operating in ignorance anymore. Because everyone under the sound of my voice today, you have no more excuses for hating anyone, because today he says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so he said he wants you to have the same kind of love that God had for your brother. And if you don't, you're lying about who you are in God. That's pretty tough, isn't it? But it brings freedom. And remember this, it's not about It's not about trying to transform you into this little mold. What God is trying to do for us is get us free. Because when we get this stuff out of us, that's when we really become free. That's when we stop being slaves. I'm not your slave anymore because you can't get my goat. Michael likes to use that with Addie. I'm going to get your goat. She'll say, no. Like, if I knew where it was, I'd cover it up. You know, I don't know where my goat is. But he'll reach over and grab at her and say, got your goat. And when he first started that, she'd say, Mama, Daddy got my goat. And some of us are just like Addie in the spiritual world. You got my goat. I don't like you anymore. But not anymore, not after today, okay? Because today you're accountable. Today, God said, you got to love people just like I love them, or you're a liar. I'm a liar. And I know sometimes it's not easy to love them. And here, let me give you this, because, you know, it's going to take, when the devil comes and through somebody we love especially, and they shoot those fiery darts, it's going to take a while to get over it. You know, there's a grace period there, but work through the process, work towards solution, work toward loving them like He said we need to love people, because if that's your goal, greater is He that's in you, so you can reach that goal, because that's your whole goal as you're working through the hurt. See the difference? Instead of focusing on the hurt, verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In other words, he said when the manifest love of God, what He's saying is when the love of God presented itself to a lost and dying world, it came in the form of His Son. How many knows the Bible says in Romans, was it 5:8, God demonstrated His own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So all the people that were sinners at the time, He said, He died for us while we were there. While we were not loving Him, He was loving us and dying for us. And so, if we're going to love like Jesus, while the world looks like a sinner and they're acting like a sinner, even the ones we love, while they're acting like that, we're acting like God, and because now we're loving them in spite of what they're doing and how they're acting. And that's the place God wants to bring us to. That's where He said we should live as Christians. And He said not only that, you can, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So you have the ability through the power of Jesus Christ. How many knows that's good news? And then we can take all the bars off our heart when we think about this individual or this situation or whatever it is that's been keeping us in prison. All those bars can go and they can't hurt us anymore. They can't touch us anymore because, just like the skit said, I know who I serve. Even if you're work, if you're at work or somewhere that you're around all the time and involved in a situation, family matters, whatever it may be, and there's a stressful situation that you're always in, that'll help you if you'll remember who you're doing for. I'm serving God, not as an eye pleaser unto man, but I'm doing this with my whole heart because I'm getting great reward for this, whether anybody else rewards me or compliments me or whatever. This is a God thing and I'm getting free in Jesus' name. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. I just want to get full of God. He said, well then love one another and He'll stay right there. Just love people. Love the ones that don't love you. Love the ones that criticize you. Just love people. You say, well, how do you do that? You just kill your feelings and shoot them and then you say by faith, I love you in Jesus' name and I speak blessing over you in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden, before long, it becomes a reality. I know because I started practicing that years ago, and it's awesome how that becomes a reality in your life. when you first speak it and you just step out on faith and you say it. You say, well, I wouldn't really mean it from the heart, so I'd be a hypocrite. No, you'd be a child of faith. You'd be a child of faith. Because now you're saying what God told you to say in His Word. You mean if I don't really love them and I don't feel it, I can just say it? That's absolutely right. And you won't be a hypocrite. You'll be a child of God that is claiming that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And God will just help you from that moment on. Because you're doing what God told you to do, He'll help you to do what you can't do. And you just grow up in that love. How many knows if at 18, Addie comes back in my room and writes on my chair, it's going to be a different consequence. Her and Papa's going to have a talk. Yeah. Why? Because she's growing up. It's not, you can't walk in ignorance for so long. And then we're accountable to grow up. This is grow up day for somebody. I'm telling you, somebody's going to leave here today and you'll never be the same because you decided, I'm going to start speaking love. In every situation, I'm going to walk in this love, and I'll have, by doing that, I'm going to have a love that's going to last forever. It's going to set me free, and I'm going to not walk in bondage and prison anymore. So your skit wasn't just a black thing today. It was a white thing and a red thing and a yellow thing. Today is a get-free thing. So thank you for your skit today. It's right on target. But somebody's going to get free today. That's what was really exciting to me when God spoke this to me this week. Let's look on down in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because He is, as He is, so are we in this world. You know what He's saying here? He's saying, you know what, if we start loving like this, we're going to start looking forward to standing before God someday and giving an account. And He says, if you've got hate or aught in your heart against someone, you know what? You better get rid of it, because someday we're all going to stand and give an account. Now, and watch this in verse 18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. You know, we think of fear, we think of opposite of fear is what? No, it's courage. You know, the opposite of fear we think is courage, right? Oh, that's a courageous person. He is such a brave individual. She's such a brave individual. Well, the Bible said the opposite of fear is not courage. Opposite of fear, according to Scripture, is love. And it makes sense if you stop and think about it for just a little while. The opposite of fear, the things you fear, you know, we don't let people in and we don't say some of these compliments, give a compliment out, or we won't say encouraging things because we don't know if we'll get encouragement back. We won't make a suggestion about something because you made a suggestion once and you just got shot for it, so I'm not doing that anymore. I'm part of a little homeowners association board and we're trying to put dirt behind our... We got a green belt between my addition and Donna and Jimmy's addition, and they won't help us. Their addition won't help us at all. We're stuck with it all. That has come up, by the way. Like you all had something to do with it, you know. But, I mean, this is people. See, they're just talking. And so we're trying to get some dirt. And so they got one bid. And some of the guys that's supposed to get bids didn't get bid. And so I said, and I told them when I come, I said, this is the way I operate. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, it's all volunteer based. I'm going to go around you and get it done. And they just look at me, you can't do that. That's not protocol. I thought, well, it's free. And people still gripe about free. And so we're putting dirt back there, and then we got one guy that, you know, he's not on the board anymore, but he's still on the board. How many knows what I mean? You know those kind of people? I think he's still president. I got the title, and he's still president, I think. Great guy. Good Christian man. But we were debating about it, and I got a biz a little cheaper, but he won't know if it's going to cut any dirt. And I said, well, yeah, I think they're going to cut a little dirt and form it the way it should be formed. And, well, I'm just real concerned about that. Man, I'll tell you what, if we just do one thing. And I said, you know, we're going to grade it all. It's going to be all leveled out. And, well, are you an engineer? I wanted to lie and say, yes, I am. I have an engineer degree.
Are you an engineer, Jack? And I said, well, no, I'm not. And finally I said, well, just what do you want me to do? I'll just do whatever you want me to do. You know, just wear a thing out on a little dirt thing, right? Well, I can't do anything but what I'd like to recommend. I said, well, just recommend. I'll do what you recommend. Well, no, I can't. And, you know, my temperament, I'm like, okay, now what is it you want me to do? You know? It just, all the red tape. And so, how many just hate red tape? Anybody but me? Oh, yeah, look at all of you. And so finally he said, well, you know, this other bid's a little higher, but they're going to put a lot more dirt. And I said, well, is that what you want to do? I said, I don't care. You know, you put in time on it and got the bids and helped with the bids. And I don't care to do a little more money for a little more dirt if that's what you all want. And he said, well, that's what I'd like for you all to recommend. If you want to. You're the board. You know. I said, well, that sounds good. I called the secretary and I said, would you put out an email? And I called the little vice president and I said, is this okay? And I explained it to him. Oh, it sounds good to me. And so I said, put out an email and tell him, you know, thank you for your help. And we're getting bids. You know, we got a bid and such and such has been awarded to do this job. Thank you for your, you know, help. Is that what I wanted to do? No, I just wanted to say, get over yourself, you know, and just let's do it. You know, but I didn't because I don't act like that in the public anymore. Well, most of the time I don't. But when I do, I apologize. And if I've done something to you like that and haven't apologized, come and let me know and I'll apologize to you. Because I don't have any fear anymore because God's love is just, you know, I'm letting it saturate me. And that's not who I am, but that's what I'm becoming because I'm allowing God's love to saturate me and change me so I'll look more like Him the way I should look whenever it's time to look like God. And he said that there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. And for you that are tormented over a relationship or something in your life or something you're facing, some obstacle, some challenge, I'm telling you, it's not a courage problem, it's a love problem. It's a love problem. And today is the day you want to get free. He said, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you're carrying around a degree of fear in an area, I'm telling you, it's a love issue according to the authority of God's Word. It's a love issue. That's why a teacher, you know, some of our school shootings, that's why a teacher would stand in front of another student and take a bullet for them. It's not because of courage. But, you know, they say, oh, they're such a hero. They were so courageous. No, they love the kids. They love the kids more than themselves, and so they took a bullet. You know, that's why you see that. People doing courageous acts because they really love people. It's a love issue. You think they're not scared? You think the teacher that, like in Columbine, that took a bullet wasn't scared? Well, of course he was. It's not about being scared. It's about love being perfected in an individual enough to say, I will do whatever it takes. That's why a mother has no fear. It's not about her courage. That's about her love. It's about her love for her children and her grandchildren. You come up and try to yank Addie around in front of her grandma. Yeah, you yank her chain around grandma, you'll see her hackles come up, I'll guarantee you. Because she loves her. She loves her. And the rest of the grandchildren. She, you know, that's a love. That's love casts out fear. And here's what will happen to you. For you that God's wanting to free today, this is, you know, we've all been there and we'll be there again, but today that's where you are. You're having struggles loving somebody, some situation, and you just, it's tormenting you today, it's Freedom Day. And what will happen is you won't fear that thing anymore. Sometimes we don't forgive people because we're afraid that they won't get what's coming to them. We're afraid we're going to let them off the hook if we don't say, you know, our little feelings, and we don't want to let them off the hook. So today, he says, you know what, if you'll perfect your love and invite the love of Jesus to flood your soul, today you can get free from all that, and you won't have that in your heart anymore. You won't have any more fears because you'll know that God's going to judge everything, and He's a righteous judge, and you can trust Him to make it all balance out in the end. How many knows He's got scales, and when we stand before Him, He's going to balance it all out in the end. Yeah, but this person's been doing this for years and years and years. You know what? They're walking in torment. They're walking in darkness. And you ought to feel sorry for them, not bitter against them. Because that's where they are. And someday they're going to have to give an account, and they're in prison right now because they have that kind of an attitude and that kind of heart against you or anyone else. And God's wanting to free them up, and He can if you'll get free and start loving on them the way we need to love on them. Can you imagine a world of bitter people, and there's a handful of loving people that just never quit loving them because that's what God said to do, and they just begin to see that, and they begin to melt just people all around them? That one of the scriptures I was reading in the Living Bible said, you know what, when God's church loves each other, it will never fail. It'll never come apart when we just have love one for another. That's the kind of love I want to see here at our church. It says we don't come in, when we come in on Sunday, everything's been taken care of at the altar, and we don't have to have those bitter feelings anymore. I forgive all my exes in Texas and everywhere else they are. I forgive my moms and dads, and for those that abused me and for those that have accused me, I forgive them and I love them in Jesus' name. That's what He's saying right here. And He said, you can do it, you can have that kind of love because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Will you take the challenge today? Will you get free today? You will say, today, after today, there's not going to be any more hurt, no more bitterness in my heart. And the hurt will heal if you'll just start the process and say, today, you know, I've carried it around long enough. I want to start and I want to replace it with love today. Let's pray. Father, today you've brought freedom to some in this house. You brought it to all of us, God, because somewhere or another we've all walked in it, we'll walk in it again where we've been hurt and we have to go through the process. But I praise you for teaching us, some of us in here, that you know what? It's all about us. It's about freedom for us, getting free through the love of Jesus Christ. That letting God perfect His love in us is going to bring freedom. We'll have no more fear, no more torment. No more sleepless night, no more ulcers, because we're going to let Jesus Christ be Lord of our lives in this area. And we're going to start loving and quit fretting and quit complaining and quit blaming. And today we're just going to love people where they are. Because we know they're walking in darkness and we know they're walking in ignorance. And so today we identify the enemy and his tactics to bring us into bondage through not loving others. And we rebuke that and we denounce it in Jesus' name. And Lord, today you've been speaking to hearts in this place, and I know some people are going to get free. Some people, this is freedom day for them. No more hatred, no more bitterness, no more grudge. All the hurt and the baggage I've been carrying today, I lay it on the altar. Would you do that right now? Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I give it to you. I repent from my attitude and what I've the way I've been acting. And today, Lord, I receive a new love and a new help from you. Today, Lord, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Today, Lord, I receive a new love and a new hope and a new life. Today, Lord, I receive freedom through Jesus Christ. I can't do this in my power, but I'm not relying on my power anymore. I'm relying on you now. You said you'd be my strength and my comforter. You sent the Holy Spirit to help me. And so today, Lord, I receive that power and that strength. Today's a new day. Today's a forgiving day and a loving day. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Because today I'm loving instead of hating. Today I'm loving instead of harboring bitterness. Today I'm loving like God loved. And it will be perfected in me through the power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting free today. We appreciate that. Amen. Walk in that and never look back. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, today that you have given us the word that has encouraged us and has shown us how we can walk in perfect love. Walking in complete love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean we won't have battles and trials. It just means that we'll know where to go and what tools to use, that we'll know that love never fails and that we'll pick this love up and we'll carry it and we'll love them in spite of whatever comes our way. So thank you, God, for new power today to operate in your kingdom. We pray this week, Lord, that you'll bless us and use us for your glory and let us love people that need to be loved on. Those that are unlovable, send them to us, Lord. We'll love on them through this newfound power and grace. Until we love them back to Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you this week and to be salt and light in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.